Hello, and welcome to another podcast from HPS. In this episode, in collaboration with our partners iComplied, I continue my conversation with Peter Holtman around risk management, and I asked Peter to talk specifically around ISO 31000, the ISO guideline for risk.
First question, Peter, is can an organization become certified to this standard, or is it more of a guideline?
At the moment, the ISO 31 standard is a guideline standard. It's not a certifiable standard, so it's not a technical standard, strictly speaking, but it does allow for an organization to be benchmarked against what the ISO world is expecting, and that means that they can develop internal checklists or have an external consultant come through and benchmark their current practices or their future practices against the standard of ISO 31000.
Okay. Peter, I guess the follow-on to that is then, what are the key areas within the standard that management and those stakeholders that we spoke about a little earlier will need to get their head around? And how does this play alongside other ISO standards that organization may well be certified against, such as quality or occupational health, safety, environmental, et cetera?
Sure. The 31000 standard meshes very nicely with existing management system standards such as quality, safety, or an environment or food safety standards. It's a regular part of the practice, but what it does do now is it calls out the risks that you would normally be managing through other practices and gives them an identity. So being able to identify risks and their source. It also talks to how do you validate that it's a risk in the first place? What sort of data are you using to determine that it's a risk versus a gut feel approach to risk? It also asks you to analyze the risk in terms of likelihood and significance and severity. And so you'll be looking for an analysis tool that does that. Usually a risk matrix tool is the most common approach. And then that asks you to treat risk after you've done your analysis. So based on the level of severity or likelihood you've identified, what do you do next? So it starts to prioritize action plans against risk for the business. And then most importantly, it's asking you to communicate risk through a number of different processes. That's through documentation, that's through verification, that's through internal and external communications of risk.
That sounds very comprehensive, Peter. Thanks. Peter, I guess the last question then is how ready in your experience do you think companies are? I mean, I know that's a very broad question to a very wide variety of industry, but how ready do you think companies are? And what are the things they maybe need to start doing now if this is, yet to be discussed?
I think companies have a basic awareness of risk and what risk may mean. And usually it's in the traditional sense of risk is something that's going to negatively impact the outcomes of the business. And so businesses start to forearm or forewarn themselves around that level of risk. So there is some understanding of it. What we were talking about previously was risk in terms of how do you sustain risk to get a positive outcome. So the use of positive risks within a business and how do you communicate these forms of risk to build up consumer confidence in your business's capability to sustain a business and to hold business continuity. This would be the place of where businesses should be starting, which is starting to talk about what are the positives and the negatives inherent in the business, and are they risks that you wish to sustain? Are they risks that you wish to eliminate, or are they risks that you wish to mitigate or manage within the business? And so starting to put that framework of the ISO 31000 in place is a really effective way for them to start the conversation around risk management within the business.
And Pete, would that apply to companies of all shapes and sizes, or is this really just for the stuff for the larger end of town?
No, these processes are simple enough to put into one-man operations right up to the largest multinationals, internationals, blue-chip businesses out there. It doesn't matter if you're a for-profit, if you're a non-profit, if you're a charity, if you're a government organization, or if you're an NGO, this risk management practice has relevance and currency and accuracy for your activities.
Peter, fantastic. Peter, thanks so much for your insight into these into this area and for answering the questions. And I think that will really help people become better informed and better educated and help them maybe start their thought processes to steps they need to take. So with that, I thank you very much for your time and look forward to your insights.
Thanks very much, Ed.
Thanks.